And with that, we're going to move to item 18, Custer State Park Wind and Fire Damage Update.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, Matt Snyder, Regional Park Supervisor for Western South Dakota. Here once again to give an update on blowing in the wind and now the quarry fire. As everybody's aware, started on December 18th. There we go. We had the historic windstorm move through the area of the Black Hills. Persistent 48 hours of peak gusts, anywhere from 94 miles an hour to 122 miles an hour winds. Did a lot of damage with trees down, power lines down. Park basically was without any power for 6 days. Got it restored right before Christmas. So when you think of that, you got to remember that when we lose power, we lose phones, we lose internet, we lose everything. So we were basically dead in the water for 6 days. Cell phone coverage was very spotty. Even with the towers we have in the park, they run intermittently on and off their generators. So it was interesting. It was an interesting time. So with that, as we call it, a unified response, I mean, starting on the morning of the 18th, DOT came to our aid. Staff started opening up roads. We had basically the roads open for traffic by the end of the day. We did close the park for a day. And then we continued on with recovery efforts with staff coming from outside the area starting in January 5th and through February. So we had a lot of staff from the department that came out and helped. Department of Transportation stayed with us for the duration of it with equipment, personnel helping out. Department of Corrections had a crew of anywhere from 8 to 10 inmates pretty much every day coming down out of Rapid City to help us out. Wildland Fire came from across the area to help with even their Black Hat crew came down and did a lot of labor intensive work and recovery for us. So just some pictures here. The bottom left would be behind the dam at Sylvan Lake. That was after it was cleared. And if you're familiar with behind the dam at Sylvan Lake, there's nowhere to go with this stuff. So there it sits for right now. Trees on buildings, as you can see, I mean, but spirits were still high. We still had smiles going on during the course of this, and everybody just pitched in and went to work. So part of that unified response for the first couple weeks of this, when we were averaging about 103 people a day, they came from around the state to help us out. And then from mid-January through the end of February, we were averaging about 78 staff a day working in the park to do cleanup. Total staff hours through like that period was over 10,000 hours of staff hours to clean everything up. And then resource management. So what we ended up doing is having selected areas in Sylvan Lake, Center Lake area, and the Game Lodge area where we took all the debris. So staff hauled over 1,400 tons of material to these different locations, and then we entered into a contract with Baker Timber where they came in and basically started grinding the remains. If it was merchantable timber, basically merchantable timber in this case is they're still made into chips and they're sold in Dakota Panel in Rapid City for cabinetry and different things like that. The non-merchantable timber was basically hauled to their yard. There may be a bio plant that could use it to burn it, you know, in the Rapid City area, but we basically had to bear that cost because there's really no value per se by the time they truck it out and everything else. So as you can see here, 15 loads of merchantable chips went to out of the Sylvan Lake, 12 loads of waste chips. And then Camp Remington is off of Needles Highway where the Center Lake stuff went. There's 18 loads of merchantable chips there, another 13 loads of waste, and then we had 4 loads of waste chips out of the Game Lodge area. And then salvage contracts. So we went to work right after the storm hit and started working with our timber staff and saying, okay, what can we do from the salvage standpoint? How do we get this stuff off the landscape? We know we're not going to make a lot of money off of this. So they put together, they went out and put units together. There was a total of 12 different designated areas that were, they believe, were operable. There's other areas in the park that are unoperable to where you couldn't get equipment in, so we didn't even attempt those areas. Five of the 12 designated areas did get sold. Baker Timber bought 4 units kind of on the north part of the loop road there. When you're coming up to 16A, they've been working in there for over a month now. And then behind the Coolidge store, they also were working there. So as you can see, they've taken out 2,900 tons, 139 loads of merchantable chips, 45 loads of high pace for them of being able to chip this and get it out of the park. And then just behind the Coolidge store alone is about a 25-acre area. They took out 25 truckloads and pup loads of logs that they ended up chipping. So quite substantial amount of damage in there. And then Morgan Logging, they're basically a whole tree logging operation where they're basically creating firewood. So they've taken out 180 tons to date, and they're more in the southern end of the park up of Highway 87 is where they're working to go. So the other remaining 7 units have not got under contract yet. We're currently working with Baker and Morgan to see if they'll be interested in anything more. It just depends, you know. I mean, right now they're doing what they can. They have other areas that they need to get to as well. A major change over the last, I don't know, I'd say probably say 5 to 7 years with the closing of Nyman's Mill and Hotspur, or Hill City, excuse me, we've lost a lot of our loggers that used to be logging. I mean, we had loggers galore when we were in the pine beetle era, you know, several years ago, and now they're just kind of, it's a lost business. I mean, they're just not there anymore. And plus, what you got to remember is, unlike the Legion Lake fire, the logs were salvageable logs that they could make into lumber. They were charred on the outside, but they were salvageable. The logs you're getting out of this windstorm, a lot of them are been twisted and broke, so that takes all the durability for an actual plank to come out of that. The only thing you can really do with it is firewood or make it into chips. Well, you have one contractor that does chipping in the Black Hills, and you got a few firewood vendors, but there's wood galore, you know, wherever you want to go. So we're fortunate just to get these guys. So, and to put it in perspective, when we did the Legion Lake salvage logging, we're averaging $1.50 to $2 a ton for those salvageable logs. Baker is paying us 25 cents a ton. Morgan is paying us 2 cents a ton for what they're getting. And like I said, it wasn't about the money. It was about trying to get this stuff off the landscape. So we're going to continually work with them to see if they'll continue to maybe look at taking some more areas off our hands and continually cleaning things up for us. So, and then there's recovery cost, and this has been asked quite a bit as to what did this cost the park, you know, and there's still things that are going on, but there's a couple different numbers here. So if we start with the FEMA public assistance request there for Custer State Park, just our operation alone, it would have came to $692,000, just shy of $700,000. The Custer Resort Company, it's state-owned facilities that got damaged, that's $510,000. And that number is going to climb a little bit because as we've got into some of those buildings and opened up roofs, we found some additional damage that's going to be repaired. It's under the process now. But then you drop down, and our expenditures to date for the park is $186,000. So the difference in that is when you submit for FEMA reimbursement, FEMA basically gives you a formula for all of your equipment, for all that aspects that goes into it. So that's why that number's grown so much. If it was a normal year, we would have been operating anyhow. So, I mean, our true cost to date are more than $186,000 that's coming out of our budget. If we end up with a FEMA reimbursement, you know, we've asked for the just shy of that $700,000. Over $500,000 for the resort company, that is something that we will pay out. We're doing that through our R&M account. We're going to overexpend our R&M. We've talked about that, I think, back in January, and then we will recover those costs through the bond redemption fund where we have money. So that's kind of the impact, and that's where we're at. As you can see, 82 of the resort facilities were impacted in some form or another, anything from broken windows to roof damage to... The the electrical mast being pulled off the buildings, the cabins, all the communication lines were taken down, have to be put back up. So quite extensive, but in all honesty, a lot of it's been repaired already. We got a contractor in there right away that was working for the resort company that's been going strong at getting everything repaired and back up to snuff. The 13 facilities we had impacted in the park, I mean, we're pretty much all back to shape. There's a couple buildings we're waiting on for a little bit warmer weather for shingling, so the asphalt shingles would stick, but otherwise, we're going to be in a good shape for the summer. Okay, and then the Mickelson Trail was also impacted, and the 109 miles of the Mickelson Trail and 350 miles of the Snowmobile Program. The Northern Hills crew did a great job of just taking this on themselves. They used a lot of their groomer operators who weren't grooming this winter due to the snow or lack of snow. So went really well. They had a few bridges that, you know, had some trees go down, as you can see in the one picture here. But nothing structural. It was more the cosmetic aspect of just putting some new railing up, aspects like that. So the main trail corridor has been open for quite some time, but they're kind of doing that final touches to it. What they call brooming is basically they go in, and then we have a broom on the front of a bobcat that they just lower slightly just to get some of that fine debris off the ground rather than trying to hand rake everything. So that's going well, and the trail's going to be in good shape for the summer. Moving on to our March 13th, the quarry fire, as we call it. Two fires started near the town of Custer on the east side of Custer and burned eastward towards the park. 9,100 acres burned. Approximately 1,200 acres ended up burning into Custer State Park. We had zero structures impacted by the fire. The day this started, I believe it was a Thursday afternoon, there was some concern about Bluebell. The lodge of that being in the way of the fire, but the winds kind of changed around and did not become an issue for us. So we did have staff at that time. Basically, we had to evacuate and close everything south of 16A. So we did have a few volunteers that we had to move out for the time being. Resort staff had some people impacted that live around Legion Lake in that area that basically went to the creekside for a few days until they were able to get back in. So, but as far as the fire for us in the park, it came towards Mount Coolidge. Mount Coolidge, just the geographical structure of how that rises in that, the winds swift or change around that. So basically it actually just kind of swirled around and didn't really go much past that. We did have like a 13-acre, what we call a slop over Highway 87. They got a dozer line around that. It kind of got held up in some rocks and became a non-issue from that aspect of it. So probably the biggest benefit here is if the head of the fire would have came more south of Mount Coolidge, the winds would have drove it over Highway 87 a lot more, and I think we would have seen a lot more fire on the ground in the park, which we're fortunate in that case. And then for us also in the park, the fire stayed on the ground. We had done some thinning in the years past in this area, so that helped it stay out of the crown. We were not seeing any major large pockets of severity. It did do some natural thinning of some of the jack pine, which is a positive thing at the end of the day for us in that area. So there are some places on the Forest Service and private areas where the fire burned very intense, got into some crowns, and you are going to see some larger pockets of trees that got burned up in those areas. So, and then we lost 3 miles of our fence on the west side. Staff are currently in the process of putting that back together. We lost 13 miles, over 13 miles in the Legion Lake fire, so we're getting pretty good at coming back in. And what we do is we go back in with metal. So if we ever have fire again, the fire's going to burn right through the fence rather than burn up the fence. So, and some of these areas were basically due for some work anyhow. So we actually had some money in a capital development budget to do fence repair. We've just shifted that money to basically cover the cost of this 3 miles. So, and then the personnel in the fire, by the time it was all said and done at the height of the activity, there was 319 personnel. This time of the year in the Black Hills, you have very few firefighters because you don't have all your seasonal crews on in that yet. So we had crews from all across the state come out. We had our own staff managing crews, which is typical of us. We have our own fire guard in the park that assists wildland fire when things like this happen. And then U.S. Forest Service had crews that they brought in from all across the nation, basically. There are crews in the park from South Carolina, Oregon, Montana, et cetera, that came, whether they were Forest Service personnel, volunteer fire departments from across the nation, from across the state came out and helped. Everybody just comes. It's just a major mutual aid call, and then they stayed around for several weeks after that, just mopping up and making sure everything was going to stay where it needed to be. Biggest things we kept experiencing was high winds after the fire, you know, and that's what drove the fire to begin with. And then just park readiness, just overall with the fire, with the windstorm, trails, roads, everything's open right now. We're still doing some fine-tuning of some cleanup. Campgrounds, visitor centers are ready for people. The actual Bison Center opened up the first part of April on weekends now. Visitor centers open year-round. Game Lodge and French Creek Course Camp are open right now. They stay open year-round as well, but we did see quite an increase in campers in March. You'll see that tomorrow when Jeff reports on that. The resorts will open up on May 1st this year, out at the park. And then, yeah, we're preparing just like a normal season with staff orientation on the 11th and just ready for normal use. So, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't say staff are tired, but the staff out there in the park are resilient. We've been through stuff like this before. Like I kind of joke, it's just a matter of tying your shoes a little bit tighter in the morning and you go, you know, and I honestly can say morale's been good. Everybody just pitched in and did what they needed to do, and just the help we received from other agencies and from across the department, the wildlife and fisheries guys that came out, it was just phenomenal. The equipment they brought, everybody just came out ready to work. Where do we need to go? And just the coordinated effort that the park put together every day, just to know how to, you know, where we put the crews, and everybody was accounted for. You have 10,000 hours of doing this kind of technical cutting and hauling without any injuries. Says a lot for the people that came out and just the all-around professionalism of everybody. So I can't express my gratitude enough for all the assistance and the help we've gotten from all the agencies and the staff in the department. It was truly a team GFMP effort that came together, and hopefully we don't have to relive this anytime soon. So with that, I'd stand by for any questions.
Any questions for Matt? Commissioner Bartley.
Thank you, Matt. When they cleared the trees away, did they also grind like the stumps, or are those stumps just going to be a part of the landscape? Or because I know that's expensive to do, to grind stumps out.
Through the chair, Commissioner Bartling, the stumps in the day use areas we ground out, and the majority of them are done. We do have some root balls in the day use areas that we've had to remove. I think there's approximately about 60 of them that will get hauled to a landfill yet, so we're going to increase the cost on that yet. But those root balls in some of the natural areas, they're going to be there. There's nothing we can do with them. If they were in some of the salvage areas, the trees got cut from them, but they'll just become part of the landscape and eventually disappear someday. But yeah, so.
Additional questions? Commissioner Spring.
You told about rebuilding the fence. You said it was all steel. You drive a pipe, and what type of wire are you using?
Through the chair. Commissioner Springs, we drive pipe in, basically. We're not digging any holes. We got pounders on our bobcats that we use, our skid steers. It's usually a more high-tensile woven wire that we put on. And then we'll usually do a cable on top of it. So if the elk jump over, especially on the west side, it's not as high as on the east side where we're trying to keep the elk in. West side, they're going back and forth onto the Forest Service. But we'll usually put a cable on the top of it too. So if they do jump on it, it's not squishing it down. So,
what height is that that you're building new?
I want to say on the west side, it's probably going to be close to a 5-foot fence. So
additional questions from the commission and or comments? I do have just one question, and I don't know if you're able to answer it, but first, thank you to you and the team and all of those that are outside of the department. I know it sounds like it's been grueling, so thank you.
Yes.
With the RFP process going on, have you ran into any questions or concerns or challenges with all of the fire and the wind storm?
No. I mean, no. Nothing's come in that I've seen. Defer to Sean. Nobody, you know, and we have our tour next week. I don't think they're going to notice a whole lot, to be honest with you. And that's kudos to the staff and what they were able to clean up. We see it. We understand what's not right. But, you know, I think to a lot of the general public coming in, there's just going to be some areas that look a little bit more open. And why do those trees look like a candlestick? Well, because they broke off that way, you know. So, but no, I don't think there's going to be any impact. It's still going to be a beautiful park. We're just praying for rain because we're still awful dry.
Very good. Thank you. Any other questions, comments, Secretary?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Madam, thank you once again. I know I acknowledged this teamwork during the manager's conference here you had just this week. And, yeah, this is a true definition of Team GFP at its finest when you see, you know, men and women across the state helping each other out, you know, really just tackling the task at hand. And we're really proud of the team. We have endured some pretty good challenges the last few months. Matt, thank you for shepherding that. Lydia, Jason as well, he's not here today. But that's a testament to the leadership of this group, of the folks out in Custer State Park. It is the crown jewel. There's a lot of, obviously, eyes and attention on that crown jewel all the time. And I'm just proud of the team for responding the way we did. I think a lot of the work you showcased here and a lot of the work that wasn't even showcased, when visitors come to the park, and they already are coming to the park, they're really not going to notice a lot of change, a lot of difference, with the exception of a few less trees. But the cleanup efforts have really mitigated what it did look like on December 18th. So just want to say thanks once again. Keep up the good work, and let's have a great summer of 2026 in Custer State Park. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And with that, we